Good morning and welcome, brothers and sisters, to a slightly delayed worship service this morning. We have been having trouble both with Zoom and with Google Meet, but we are here, and thank you for your patience, and thank you for joining us here for worship from the Lemel Hay dining room. We may still be getting parts and scripts and things together, but it is a delight to be with you on a beautiful spring day. My name is Mitchell Hay, and I'm the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church. And coming back into screen is the Reverend Barbara Lemel, who is serving the United Community Church of Morrisville, Vermont.
Good morning, all. Thanks for your patience.
On regular Sundays, sometimes we have technical glitches, but boy, when we're doing it via Zoom or via Facebook, it's whole new levels. So thank you, Jeremy, for getting us back on task and online. And we invite you to be in worship with us. Even when we're feeling lonely, and even when we're feeling isolated and fearful, we can come to worship, even with praises on our lips.
Even when we're alone and lonely, even when we're so busy we can hardly think, even when we're exhausted, we can still come together to glorify the one who the Bible says is present in all our conditions.
We come to the presence of the one who makes every place, every space, sacred and holy. And it is your presence as well that makes this a holy space in a holy time.
No matter what's happening to us, we are promised that when we even while we continue to stay safe in our homes, God is present with us, and God's grace is a door flung open to us even when our doors are closed.
In this time and place, you, all of us, can gather to hear the stories of the one who loves us beyond words.
Whether we're in living rooms or dining rooms or hospital rooms, whether we're on phones or tablets or just listening in, we can share the music, we can share the stories, we can hear again the good news that God loves us, that Christ is risen, that this is the day the Lord has made.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to worship.
Amen.
Back a bunch of years ago, Barb and I were at the very first Wild Goose Fest, which was kind of a Woodstock for progressive Christians. And there was a sign there that was very intriguing that was all letters crammed together, and it either said, God is nowhere, or God is now here, depending on how you were reading it. And in a very profound way, God is nowhere or God is now here has everything to do with how we are looking at the situation.
It has to do with the space, right? So God is nowhere. The word nowhere doesn't have a space in it. But if you put a space between the W and the H of nowhere, it doesn't say God is nowhere anymore. It says God is now here. And I think for us, the difference between God being nowhere and God being here, now here, is just a space. And so here are these examples of times in the scripture, times in our own lives where this is true.
So we invite you to make a space within yourself right now to hear this opening to God time. The women arrive at the empty tomb. God is nowhere. Suddenly, Jesus meets them. God is now here.
When Mary was weeping with loss in the garden, God is nowhere. When the gardener calls her name, God is now here.
The disciples afraid in a locked room, God is nowhere. Then Jesus appears. God is now here.
Thomas refuses to believe. God is nowhere. Then he touches Jesus' wounds. God is now here.
The disciples fish all night without a catch. God is nowhere. Throw your net on the other side. God is now here.
Peter's shattered when a cock crows three times. God is nowhere. But a healing conversation on the beach with the risen Lord. God is now here.
Two disciples downcast on the Emmaus Road. God is nowhere. They recognized him in the breaking of bread. God is now here. And God is here now. Amen.
Amen.
So our gospel reading this morning was supposed to be read by Dana, but we were not able to get things connected. So,
so you're going to have to look at us.
You're going to have to look at us the whole service. The downside of technologies. So I invite you to hear these words from the Gospel of John. Again, we're in the 14th chapter, like we were last week. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask Abba, and Abba will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees nor knows it. You know the Spirit because it abides in you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to see you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in Abba, and you in me, and I in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom Abba will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not let them be afraid.
And then this reading from Romans. Again, this morning, Hope Sturdivant was going to be our reader, but because of our technical issues, I'm going to be reading it instead. So thank you, Hope, for being willing. So this this translation of Romans from the Message. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. The Spirit does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. God's Spirit knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. So end our readings this morning. So I don't know about you, but when I hear that piece out of John 14, mm-hmm. where Jesus says, okay, I just got back and now I'm gonna leave, but it's okay, I'm gonna leave the advocate to be with you. I have to think that the disciples were like, what do you mean you're leaving? You just got back here. You were just risen again. We don't want an advocate. We want you. We just got back you.
The real thing.
Right. The real thing.
Alive again. And Jesus in this reading promises that they will be able to do amazing and wonderful things in his absence. With the presence of this advocate, this Spirit. But that's not what they want. They want to go back to what they knew and know.
Well, it's so much better to have the Jesus that you know. It feels to me like we are with church right now, like we are with so many things right now with COVID. I don't know about you all, but just in the last few weeks, I've been to so many webcasts and read so many articles and had so many conversations about all the possibilities that COVID is opening up for us, ways to go back to new things. Mm-hmm. I don't have any argument with it. I think it's true. And at some level, I don't really want to go back to new things. I think we want to go back to what we knew and loved, which was church the way it worked.
I want to be hanging out with my people. I want to be hearing the small talk that happens in the pews. I want to be able to hang out in the sanctuary and listen to the organ and be at coffee hour where there's small talk and stuff. I want to go back. I want to go with what I know. I want what is comfortable. But that's not allowed by COVID. And it's not allowed, I shouldn't say not allowed, but Jesus has something better for us. We're looking at our screen and seeing that we are stuck. So I don't know if we are still
working. This is fine. No,
we're
good.
Still working.
We're good.
So I guess the question is, what is this Holy Spirit thing?
Right. So when Jesus promises that he's going to send an advocate, mm-hmm. What is that?
What does that mean? So now we get a Greek lesson, if you're ready. The Holy Spirit throughout the Bible tells us that the Spirit is there to comfort us in our loss, to be with us in our fear. The Spirit is the advocate for us when we are seeking justice or mercy or compassion for both people and for ourselves. We're told that the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. And Jesus promises that us again in John 14, leading us, guiding us, supporting us on our faith journeys and our life journeys throughout our lives and beyond this life as well. What's new here in this reading is that in John's gospel, Jesus uses a Greek word that hasn't been used for spirit before. It's parakletos, if you're ready to do a Greek lesson. Parakletos. Which can, at its most crass, means lawyer, one who pleads a case on your behalf, or is a witness who can testify on your behalf. But it also means a person who is there to give you comfort and counsel and strength when you really, really need it. And so here Jesus is saying this advocate is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is going to be sending the presence of that Spirit to be with the disciples, even in Jesus' physical absence.
And they didn't understand it at the time, I don't think. But when Pentecost mm-hmm. came 40 days later mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit showed up then they got it. And ever since then, I think the church has had that sense that this is the Holy Spirit, this is the advocate that Jesus promised.
Parakletos can also mean someone called in. But what is important is that the person is called in, not any time, but when a parakletos is called in to help when a person is in trouble, bewildered, stuck, and not sure what the next steps are. And this is where John's meaning of spirit intersects with the Apostle Paul's sense of the spirit in our reading from Romans that Barb read. Paul reminds us that when we're at the end of it, when we're at the end of our own ropes, that same spirit that Jesus talks about hears us when we cry, out, and calls God's presence in those most dire times. And what I love about this reading from Paul is this wonderful assurance that even when I don't have the words, the Holy Spirit is able to speak through our words, beyond our words. My hopeless groans and sighs become a prayer through the Spirit. When I am so lost, when I'm so depressed or angry or exhausted that I don't have any words anymore, I just don't have enough me, the Spirit, who is at the very center of who we are, does the praying for me through those very sighs and groans. And that is such, for me, an incredible comfort to know that I don't have to be on top of that. When I'm at the, when I'm feeling at the bottom of a pit, the last thing I can handle is the responsibility to be able to pray. And knowing that the Spirit does that when I am at the bottom is an incredible comfort for me.
So it's not just that the Spirit prays for us the way I might say to you, I'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. The Spirit actually does our praying for us.
For us, yeah.
And Scripture says that that's because the Spirit lives at the very center of us, that even when we, the message translation is great, but I love the place in the NRSV where it says that when, that the Spirit prays for us when our prayers are sighs too deep for human words, when all we can do is sigh, the Spirit at the center of us knows what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, we want to talk to you about an Ignatian spiritual concept that places God and the center of us, at the center of us. And this is most clearly illustrated by a book called The Inner Compass by a woman named Margaret Silf. Silf is spelled S-I-L-F. And when we sent out the bulletins on the Facebook pages, we sent out a picture of the circles of Margaret's, from Margaret's book. And Jeremy, I think, will be able to put those up on the screen. And if not, they'll be on the Facebook page after the service is done. So Margaret and St. Ignatius talk about there being three circles. The outside circles called the Where Am I circle. The middle circle inside it is the How Am I circle, and the inside circle, the very center of it, is the Who Am I circle. So I want to talk about those a little bit. So the Where Am I circle, that's the circle of things that just are in our lives, things that just exist, things about me that aren't necessarily my choice, they're just part of my life. So for me, the Where I Am circle has things like, I grew up in Chicago. I'm a Midwesterner. Sorry, I'm not a Vermonter. That's just part of who I am. What about for you?
I'm a Navy brat. I've moved around a ton. And the thing about those external realities is that we can't change them. They're what they are, but we do need to be aware of them because otherwise they have a lot of control over us.
And that's the middle circle.
Right. So, but being aware of it, I also know that because I moved around a lot, mm-hmm. It was really hard for me to feel settled in any one place. Mm-hmm. It was risky to make friends because mm-hmm. when I had to unroot, that hurt a lot. So, sure. So being aware of that, but that also brings us to our next circle. I also have, there's external realities that I'm only beginning to learn about. Things I know well. I'm a dad. I'm a pastor. I'm an adopted Vermonter, but a Midwesterner, I'm an everywhere-er. But I'm also realizing that as a cisgender, heterosexual, white, middle-class male comes with a backpack of privilege that I need to be aware of.
Sometimes that outside circle has fairly prosaic things. So, for example, both of my knees are missing an anterior cruciate ligament because I've torn them out for a variety of athletic misadventures. After I tore the second one, the doctor who looked at my knees said, "Oh, you know, there's a way, the way in which your bones are formed make you prone to this accident." I was like, "Oh, well, that's, wish I'd known that before I did these misadventures, although I might have been there anyway." Mm-hmm. But now I get through life with two knees that are less stable. It's just part of who I am. That's what's in the outer circle, whatever. And for all of us right now in our outside circle, we're living in the middle of a pandemic. This isn't something we picked. It's something that just, it's just here. That's welcome, what the outside circle
welcome
is about.
To pandemic time.
Yeah, that's right.
That's where we are living. The question is, given the reality of who we are, where we're at, is how do we respond?
And that's the second circle.
That's the middle circle. How do I respond? And these are things I have a little more control over. I can change. I do have a way. I have a choice of how it is that I live out in this circle.
Right. And we're choosing that all the time. We're choosing to wear masks when we go out. We're choosing mm-hmm. to meet on Zoom instead of meet face to face. We're making lots of choices like that. Again, a prosaic example about my knees, for example. Mm-hmm. So I have to be pretty careful what I do athletically, but I also hate sitting still. And so there are some things that I've just decided I'll never do. Like, I don't really like playing tennis. So the fact that my knees are too unstable for tennis, I've just chosen not to play. Mm-hmm. I do really love to cross-country ski. Mm-hmm. And so I choose how to do that safely. I wear a brace. I ski carefully. I know that I'm only one bad fall away from having knee surgery. Mm-hmm. And so I'll probably never be super fast. But I can figure out how to ski, given what's in the outside circle, so that I can still do what I love and mm-hmm. do it well. That's the way we make choices in that second circle. Mm-hmm. And most of us hang out in those two circles most of the time.
Yeah.
Either we're either out in the where circle with all that's going on around us, or we're out in the place where we are making decisions about how we're going to deal with what's in the outside circle. Did you want to say something else about the second circle?
Well, I was just thinking that in a more psychological or spiritual way, we all have injuries like your knee. We all carry around a shopping bag full of hurt or guilt or shame and disappointment. And whether we need to carry those around is another sermon. We can do that some other week. When we operate out of that place, it affects people. When we operate out of guilt or anger or a sense of vengeance or entitlement, that has ripples that affect not only me, but also you, my family, the community, even the world. The ripples can go really far. So we have natural reactive ways of operating in this middle circle that are often destructive and hurt. And so we need to find a way of operating more mindfully.
Right. It's incredibly important that we choose how we live in that second circle. And I believe that we can choose that best when we take time to be in the inside circle. The inside circle is the who am I circle. And at the very center of that circle is God, is the I am, is the Holy Spirit, is whatever that is that hooks us into the power of love and forgiveness and grace and peace in our lives. That inside circle is where I start to realize who God has imagined me to be, what God dreams might be possible for me. Mm-hmm. That sometimes when I come into that inner circle, I come with confession. Sometimes I go into that inner circle and say to God, I totally screwed up in the middle mm-hmm. circle. I got totally caught up in the outside circle. Please forgive me. Show me how to get started again so that I can live as a person of love, even in this difficult circumstance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that middle circle is a place where I can find peace, where I can find grounding, where I can find discernment and decisions that help me live the way I want to live, the way I believe God wants me to live in that second circle, in a way that's more vulnerable, more intimate, and more loving. Mm.
I think for me, it's because when I go into that inner circle, I find a sense of absolute belovedness.
Yes.
And that allows me to drop my defensiveness, my anger, my vengeance, and I can operate out. I don't have to operate out of a place of self-protection. I don't have to be wearing all the armor I do when I'm in that inner circle. I know I am a beloved child of God. I know that there's nothing that can take that away or change it. And so operating out of that, what the hymnist calls the blessed assurance of being beloved, I can operate out of a much better place. So those ripples of destruction don't have to start.
Well, they become ripples of grace.
Ripples of
instead
grace.
Instead of ripples of destruction, which is why Margaret Silf's book is called Inner Compass. She, you know, if we are rooted in that center circle, that steers us toward God the way a compass shows us where north is. That center circle shows us where we're God, where the holy, where love is.
We made a video to show this a little bit more clearly than just the diagram up on the screen. So it starts out silly, but Barb has a great example of how it is we can utilize these circles. So Jeremy, if you could play that piece, that'd be awesome.
So let me give you an example, a real life example of how this works, because we're always going back and forth in between these. And if you think of this as like a record, the outside circle spins really fast. And as you go toward the inside circle, it doesn't spin as fast. And it's really easy for us to get caught up in and spend a lot of time in this outside part. And it's hard for us to figure out how we want to respond or even who we are when we're stuck out here in the where am I. So an example of this is a real life example, is a friend and colleague of mine who one year at Thanksgiving, just before Thanksgiving, I said to her, have a great Thanksgiving holiday. And she said to me, oh, I hate Thanksgiving. I thought, who hates Thanksgiving? And she said, every year at Thanksgiving, we have everybody over at my house, my whole family comes, and we have a wonderful meal, we have a wonderful day, and then after dinner, without my fail, my mom says that thing that makes everyone mad. And then I snap back at her, and then my brother jumps in, and everybody gets in a huge fight, and everyone leaves angry. It happens every year. I hate Thanksgiving. And so I started talking to her about the circles. What I said to her is, the thing that your mom says, that's the where am I circle. That's what happens to you. You don't have any control over that. And what you do is you stay out in the circle and you react with her. What would happen if between now and Thanksgiving, you thought about that thing your mom says that makes you mad, but you thought about it from your inner circle, from your God circle. You thought about it in prayer and you asked God to help you figure out how to respond when she says that thing. So ask God to help you work on how you're going to respond when she says what she says. So we talked about it. She left. I didn't see her again until after the holidays. And we were having coffee, and I said, so how was Thanksgiving? And she said to me, you would never believe what happened. We had our Thanksgiving meal like we always do. Everything was great. We did the dishes like we always do. And then after dinner, like it always happens, my mom said that thing that makes everyone mad. But instead of responding back to her, I really fast went back into my inner circle. And I thought about, who am I? Who do I want to be? Who does God want me to be? And when I answered my mom back, instead of the snarky reply I usually made, I just said, thanks for sharing, Mom. And because I said, thanks for sharing, Mom, my brother didn't know what to say next because I hadn't given him the line to bounce off of. And so he didn't say anything at all. And that was it. That was the end of the thing that my mom always says that makes everybody mad. Nobody got mad. We had a beautiful afternoon and evening together, and everybody went home and liked each other. That's the power of these three circles. When something happens in our where circle, we can get back into our who circle and think about how we want to respond, not only are we more centered, but often it affects what goes on in the where circle as well. Okay, that's it.
So I hope that's helpful for you, that one practical example. There's lots of examples that we can use that with. And what we would love for you to do is to spend some time this morning thinking about how these three circles with the spirit, with God at the very center, how those work in your life, how you can use those three circles in your response to all of the restrictions and possibilities and fears that the COVID crisis is bringing to us, how you could use those circles when you're really tired of dealing with the people that you have to be in the same house with all the time now, how you can use those circles responding to the news, responding to whatever it is that's going on in your life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to put that visual of the three circles back up on the screen. And I'm going to invite you to get a piece of paper and a pencil and to draw your own diagram. Now, if we were in a church, we would have handed this out to you as a bulletin insert, but you're going to have to make your own insert this morning. The good news is it's pretty simple. So to draw circles on a piece of paper and then for yourself to put in what are the where things? What are the things about my life that just are? It doesn't matter whether I wanted them or not. They're just what I have to live with. And then go to the center and talk about who you are, who God has created you to be. And then after you've spent some time thinking about your gifts, your strengths, the things that are essentially you, think about that middle ring. As you live out of the who of who you are, how does that help you respond to the where of your life? And we're going to have music while we do this. We're going to give you about 3.5 minutes to do this.
And during that 3.5 minutes, we will have a piece of, this is a historical first for our church, a ukulele version of I'll Fly Away by Jenna Olson. The song is about I'll Fly Away, but we invite you to move inward. During the 3 or 4 minutes that this lovely piece goes. So grab a pen, grab your heart and your ears, and exercise away.
Enjoy.
Hallelujah, by and by, I'll
all. I don't know that you planned on getting homework when you signed up this morning for worship, but I hope, again, that that's useful for you.
And use it all during the week.
See if I
might be able to be a new spiritual discipline.
And if there's things that are coming up for you while you've been filling out those circles and you want to talk with one of us about it, shoot us an email or a text or give us a call, because we'd be happy to either talk with you about using those circles or any of the pieces of that, or how is it that we can get more and more centered into who we are. That's some of the spiritual practices pieces that I've been doing on Wednesday evenings too. The point of that is to help us live more out of our center. And so now we move into that center as we move into a time of prayer. As always, we invite you to send prayers through the comments section on the Facebook page. As we receive those, we'll include them as specific prayer concerns. And if we don't get them in time for this morning's service, we'll put them out as prayers with newsletters and such during the week. But I invite you now to join with us, to join our hearts and our spirits across time and space in all of our different rooms as we come together in prayer. Let's be in prayer together. When it doesn't seem to matter to many, Creator God, we dare to be your people. We dare to love those the world would have us reject. We dare to be just in the face of every reason to be cruel. We dare to be unafraid, God, unafraid of whatever assails us.
When all the odds seem stacked against us, Jesus, our Savior, help us still dare to live as your sisters and brothers. Help us to serve others, even from the safety of our homes, sharing in the burdens of our neighbors, refusing to leave the lonely orphaned with no hope.
Holy Spirit, you are the breath of our being, but when our fears and our worries knock the wind out of us, give us your breath that we might breathe joy to all those who are caught in the net of hopelessness. Help us breathe peace into all the quivering and quavering hearts around us. Help us breathe wonder for all those who look for you, but who do not see you. May they see you in us. May they hear you in us. May they know you because they know us. And because we know you, Holy God, Creator and Christ and Spirit, we lift these prayers to you this morning.
We pray this week for June Packard as she lost her beautiful mom, Charlotte. We pray for June. We pray for her husband. We pray for her family and all those who knew Charlotte and loved her. This morning, we pray for Ashley, who is in the hospital with a low white blood count. We pray for discernment for doctors to figure out what is wrong. With Joanne, we lift up prayers for Sean's cousin's son, Justin, who lost his battle with addiction and died from an overdose. With Catherine, we pray for the Morse family, for Burr and Betsy, who is now home on hospice care. With Narda, we pray for Caitlin and her parents, a little girl who is dealing with severe anxiety during this time of quarantine.
We also lift to you, God, the memory of Bob Parker, who passed away this week. And we ask prayers for his wife, Amanda, for their son, Seth. We lift up to you this morning Val McManus, whose husband passed away about a year ago, and during this anniversary time, she is having a hard time. And we lift to you Neil Fisher, who again is struggling with pneumonia. Ask that you bring healing to his body and to his spirit, and we pray for Lil as well. God, we lift all of these prayers to you, and all the prayers that we keep silent in our hearts, but that your spirit knows and lifts to you for us. Even as we share together in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we close out our time of worship this morning, again, thank you all for being with us. Super thanks, uber thanks, 1,000 thanks to Jeremy, who managed to navigate us around what evidently is a worldwide shutdown of Zoom this morning. To get us to you through Google. I don't know how he did it. I just know he did, and we're incredibly grateful. A couple of announcements from the United Community Church in Morrisville today. Again, this week on Wednesday at 7, I'll be live streaming spiritual practices for uncertain times at the Morrisville Community Church Facebook page. On Thursday evening, the Executive Council is going to meet by Zoom, and I'll be sending out links for that. Friday, we'll have our regular Zoom check-in of folks in the congregation who want to get a chance to see each other at least on screen. So I welcome you to be part of all of those today, this week. How about you?
We'll be having a Netflix watch party, but I just found out that the circle for whom that can include it isn't everybody. It's only people with Netflix accounts. So we'll have to work out something to include more people with that. We'll be having our Tuesday night virtual coffee house, and I invite you to be a part of that. And we also have, we're setting up a Zoom staff parish committee and trustees and other meetings like that. Because we're Methodists, we have to have meetings. Right. So we'll be sending that out by email to everybody. Also want to give a shout out to all the folks who are students who are done for the semester. Feel sorry for those who could not have a big graduation happening. For Alyssa in particular, finished up her nursing studies. And so she and I are going to be working on getting an updated directory. And we'll be sending it out the old-fashioned way via snail mail to people. So that'll be a big project in the next couple of weeks here. So looking forward to that.
Okay. Want to send us out with a blessing?
I think so. The fancy Latin word is benediction, which means a good word to go out on. I don't know if I have a good word, but I have a blessing. Church means the sent out ones. Ecclesia. And we don't feel like we're able to be sent out all that often right now. So we ask that the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, can teach us to discern how best we make ripples of grace and love to all we love and to all we fear and to all we don't know, inside and outside. But all of it in the name of love, all of it in the name of the God who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And we'll close with some music, Spirit of the Living God from Sean Boer. Thank you, Sean. Blessings to you all this week. Peace.
Peace.